Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people to life change. We hope that this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message.
Today we're starting a brand new series entitled The Blessed Life. And the series is kind of based on a book that really changed my wife and I's life. It's based on a book called The Blessed Life, obviously. Makes sense. So and the book's written by a pastor, incredible pastor named Robert Morris. He's an incredible teacher of the scriptures. And just if you have never had a chance to get a hold of this book, I would challenge you to check it out. Because really, I believe some of the principles in this and in this series, I believe are going to change our life. I believe they're going to cause some of the greatest life change that we will experience in this church. I believe that as we act upon what we learn, that there's no doubt that in our relationship, we're going to grow closer with Jesus. We're going to grow closer with God. But to be honest, what I'm talking about is probably one of those hard things to talk about, because I'm talking about finances, I'm talking about money. So it's kind of a hard subject to tackle. My wife, Sarah, she kind of relates it to the birds and the bees talk with your kids, you know, it's awkward for both. It's definitely just kind of some weirdness, but it's something that has to be talked about because it makes a difference in our lives. It really sets us up for the future. So I'm going to talk about this. And again, it's a hard subject to tackle because it's personal, right? It's like talking about somebody's kid because it's something that draws us, it's really close to our hearts. So really, as I talk about finances and I say that, I'm actually talking about where our heart is. So before I even really say that we're talking about money, it's really about where our heart is. Again, I know some of the things that I've applied to our life in this book. It's changed my relationship with Jesus. It's changed my relationship really with my wife and how we view each other, because finances, it's really not a stress sometimes. And it's really changed the way I've even looked in my relationship with others. So I really feel compelled to talk about this area. And to be honest, as your pastor, as a pastor of Life Change Church, I feel like I'd be doing a disservice if I didn't. So we're going to jump into this and we're going to talk about this area. Because if you look at the Bible says a ton of things about money. Jesus said a ton of things about money. I think it was on purpose, because I think God knew, Jesus knew, that he's going to take us to the next level spiritually if we can trust him with that. But before we jump in, I'm just going to go and just tell you this. I know that some of you guys may have been a part of a church. You may have seen on TV. You may have seen on the internet machine. You may have seen all these things where the topic of money was abused by churches, where the subject of money was done in such a terrible way, whether it's almost a way we're saying everybody can name it, claim it, they can be rich, or whether it's just a greedy from the church where they're grabbing for your money, right? If that's you and you've experienced that, again, I want to apologize to you. I just want to tell you sorry. That's not what it's all about. That's not what God's all about. God's all about our heart. And that's really what we're going to talk about today. And I don't believe that every one of us should be rich monetarily. Because I think for some of us, it would be a catastrophic mess if that was the case. We can barely handle the little that we have. So if we had more, it'd only magnify the problems in our life. And if you look at really the followers of Jesus, the disciples, right? If you look at them, they weren't necessarily really even high rollers. But man, were they used by God? And were they blessed? And that's the thing. I think they were completely blessed by God. And I believe that God, he wants us to live the blessed life. So let's jump into this. And again, money's it's a little bit of a touchy subject, but if we apply these truths to our life, I believe that God will change us. Because this is something I know. Money has a spiritual tie. Money has a spiritual tie. It has a spiritual connection. In fact, if you look in the Bible, Jesus talked more about finances. Jesus talked more about money than he did heaven or hell. He talked more about money than he did relationships. He talked more about money than he did anything else. And why? It's because money has a spiritual tie, has a spiritual connection. And for many of us, money can often become our God. It can become something that we rely on. It can become something that we seek after, that we protect. And then the end result, we really end up worshiping this thing called money. Money can become our God. And Jesus, he said the greatest commandment is this. When he was asked in Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 38, says, "Teacher, which command in the law is the most important?" And Jesus answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and most important command. See, I think Jesus knew that we're supposed to love God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind. There's supposed to be nothing in front of God. But I think he knew that for many of us, money is one of those things that we can put in front of God. I think money can be used to change the world. It can be used really to make the world a better place. But oftentimes, I think it grabs hold of our hearts. It grabs hold of the hearts of many people, and it causes them to do crazy things. So we're going to jump into this today, and we're going to look at the passage of Scripture and kind of spend some time and study this one passage of Scripture in Luke chapter 16, verses 9 through 15. So if you have your Bible, turn with me there. Luke chapter 16, verses 9 through 15. And turn with me there. If you have a Bible app, you can get onto our Wi-Fi password is 1234567 8. Makes it pretty easy. So you can do that. I'm going to read from the New King James Version today. I'll tell you what, I usually read from the New Century Version just because of this. It's easier to read. But this New King James Version actually goes very closely to what the original manuscripts say. So we're going to read that. Luke chapter 16, verses 9 through 15. It says this. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous men, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to trust to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, also heard all these things, and they derided him, and he said to them, you are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts, for what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. So we're going to look at this and dig into this again. Again today, I usually read the New Century Versions. It's a little bit easier to read, but there's one particular word in this New King James Version that I think goes very closely to the original language, and it's this word mammon. And we're going to study this because I find this word very interesting. This word mammon I think is interesting, not only because I'm super ADD and I automatically think of that extinct creature, the mammoth, right? And that's just, so now you guys will always think of this when you go to this verse, so I just messed you up a little bit. But I look at this word mammon, right? And it only shows up in Scripture four times. Three out of the four times are in this passage right here, the other one being in Matthew chapter 6. But let's look at what is mammon. Mammon comes from an Aramaic word, and it means riches. Often in many of the other translations, it just says worldly riches. But this word, it's mammon, really goes to a specific type of riches coming from the Syrian god of riches out of Babylon. Now, hopefully everybody's tracking with me. I know I'm getting a little kind of Bible nerdy and a little bit deep here, so just track with me a little bit. But if you look at this, Babylon, the word Babylon means sown in confusion and comes from the Tower of Babel, which all goes back and is founded on this. It's founded on the pride and arrogance that man doesn't need God. Everybody good? Everybody right there? How many of you looking at him like, so what is mammon? You didn't answer the question. Here it is. I think mammon is this. It really describes what's in our heart. It kind of says, man, money is what's pulling out of our heart, and this is what mammon is. I think mammon is this. It's a prideful, arrogant spirit that says you don't need God. So unrighteous mammon is that prideful, arrogant spirit that says you don't need God. It's describing what's in our heart. Again, it's not necessarily money. And when I talk about a lot of the things I'm talking about today, I'm not talking about money, right? It's not this. Like, this is just a piece of paper. This is just, it's just a piece of paper. Like, money in itself, it's not evil. It's not evil at all. Money in itself is neutral. Money is just a tool. In fact, the Bible, it doesn't even say that money is the root of all evil. A lot of people misquote that, but it says the love of money is the root of all. 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. In other words, this greed, this covetousness, this selfishness that sometimes we have is the root of evil. But that money is what pulls that out of our hearts. And what's evil because it pulls us away from God. The love of money, it takes us away. It takes the love that we have for God, it takes it away. Oftentimes when we are only eager for money, we wander from our faith. When we're seeking after only money, we think it's the answer to our problems. It really removes God from the equation in our life. It removes God from their life, and He should be our only source. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Again, money is not evil. Money can be used for both good or bad. Money can be used for both temporal purposes or eternal purposes. But if you think about it, countless number of people have died for this. Wars have been fought over this, right? Innocent people have died in cruel ways over money. Relationships have been broken over this. Families have been completely destroyed because of this, because of money. And it's not this piece of paper that did it, but rather it's the love that someone has for this piece of paper. It's not the money, but it's the unrighteous spirit of man, that prideful, arrogant spirit. That's what's capable of leading us into this dangerous place where we no longer rely on God, where we say to ourselves, I don't need God anymore. It's the love of money, because that is what places money as our God. It's not about the money, but it's about this. It's about what money reveals in you. And if you're not paying attention now, pay attention real quick, because it's the one thing that you can get out of this whole entire sermon. Money reveals your heart. Money reveals your heart. I think it shows what we really value in life. I think it shows really how much we trust God. It shows us who and what we really are. I mean, if you think about it, money reveals your heart. Have you ever seen a family where maybe they lost a loved one, and then all of a sudden the possessions of that loved one are divided up. All of a sudden, some of the people in the family, it changes things, right? It changes people. All of a sudden, people are like, they're fighting, they're arguing, they're getting angry about certain things, and all it is possessions, because what it is, they're looking at each other, and all this unrighteous spirit of mammon is taking over. It's revealing their heart. There's times where people don't talk to each other upon years. Why is it? It's because the love of money can do this. Think about it. How can this have so much power? It's because it reveals your heart. And it's all about your heart. It's not all about that base. It's all about your heart. It's all about your heart, right? Because the life, and I think life is really, there we go. Sorry. But really, if you look at life, though, it's really just a battle for your heart. I think the problem comes in when we haven't submitted our money to God, when we haven't submitted our finances to God. And I think all money, it either comes with a blessing or it comes with a curse. And I know this, money can either be a great servant, but it's a horrible master. Money is a great servant, but it's a horrible master. Maybe you've experienced this before. Maybe you're a generous person. Maybe you've been a good steward of all the finances that have been entrusted to you. Maybe you're one of those people that have made wise choices where every time you get something that comes in, you ask, what's the wise thing to do? What's the godly thing to do with this money? And if that's you, you know that money can be a great servant. You know that you can use your money to change people's lives. You know that you can use your money to really just invest in making a difference somewhere. But on the flip side is, and what if you haven't been generous? What if you've never really been able to bless others? What if you never fully trusted God with your money? What if you haven't made wise choices with your money? What if you're spending more than what's coming in? What if you're into huge debt, right? Then you know that money is your master. And you know that money is a terrible master, because it brings this feeling of fear, brings this feeling of anxiety, brings this feeling of this stress, this unwanted pain that we don't need. Because money is a great servant, but it's a horrible master. And I believe this too. Money is a great spiritual thermometer. Money is a great spiritual thermometer. It kind of shows where we really are. And I've seen this. But I would say that money is probably one of the last areas that most people trust God in. See, I think oftentimes we trust God with our souls for eternity, right? We trust God with our plans for the future. We trust God with those things. And it's easy to trust God with those things because why? We don't really have a choice in it, right? We don't have a say. That's up there. So we can trust God with that. But it's hard for us, I think, to trust God with our money because for some reason, we think that we can control this. So sometimes it's hard for us to trust God with our money. But money is really, it's one of the great revealers, and it reveals where our heart is at. And it's really, it shows our spiritual maturity. I think my money proves who or what has my heart. And thinking about this thought, the fact that it's a spiritual thermometer, goes back to this movie, Finding Nemo. I'm just to let you know, I have two kids, right? And we went to Alabama last couple weeks. We drove 13 hours in a car with two kids. One was a three-year-old, one turned two yesterday. I made it, and that's how you know there is a God, and that's how you know he works miracles. I'm just going to tell you that right now. But we probably watched, we got the TVs, put them on the back seat, and just said, man, this would be great. Maybe they'll be quiet a little bit. But the headphones didn't work, so what we listened to is we listened to the movie Frozen and the movie Finding Nemo probably a dozen times each. And then while we're listening to this movie, all you hear is this, mine, 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 mine. You know Finding Nemo's there, and then it was in that movie. And not only was it in that movie, though, it was actually in the back seat because our kids were doing it as well. My little two-year-old son, Griffin, would take the little game console from Berkeley, and then she would get so mad, and they would start yelling, and she would yell, mine, 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 right? I mean, at times, it got heated. At times, it got a little crazy. There was screaming. There was punching. There was tears. And then as the kids were in the back, that was just Sarah and I. But though the kids, that was all the kids, right? But if you look at this, what was that? That was the mammon talking, right? That was the mammon being played out. This unrighteous mammon, and was showing their spiritual maturity level, was showing their maturity level. I think money does that to us in our life, where it shows our spiritual maturity level, because it's a great thermometer in our lives. And I think money talks. About money talks. That unrighteous spirit of mammon, it talks to us, telling us, you know what? We need the right clothes. We need the right car. We need the right house. We need the right job, right? If we get all these things, then we're going to be accepted by the right people. I think money talks, and this unrighteous spirit of man says this. If you had more money, people would listen to you. If you had more money, you would get respect. If you had more money, it would solve your problems. If you had more money, your marriage would be greater. If you had more money, you would be happier. If you had more money, everything would be better, right? But the truth is, Jesus never told anyone that the answer to his or her problems is more money. And if you look at just the great theologian, the notorious B.I.G., he said, mo money, mo problems. Just FYI, not a great theologian, but now you can say you walked away from church and had a 90s rap reference in there, and that just changed your life. But the thing is this, money's not the answer to our problems. Money is not the answer to our problems. It can be a band-aid. There's times where money can be a quick fix. But the truth is, I think the enemy likes to use the love of money to take the place of God. And I think the enemy does it even in a sneaky way. You think about Satan. He's a little sneaky, right? I mean, you look outside, and that snow, it's all white and pure and pretty, right? But that is straight from Satan. I'm just going to tell you that right now. It's a sneaky way about it. And I think Satan, he is sneaky, right? He uses the love of money to kind of creep in and let money become our God. And he even says things like that would almost sound good. Maybe you've been there before where maybe you've heard it. Maybe you've even said this. But man, if I just had more money, I could help more people. Think about that. Sounds good because I want to help more people, right? If I just had more money, I could help more people. But that's that spirit of mammon coming in and saying, if I just had more money, it would be my fix. That would be my God. That's what Satan's doing. And I believe that money talks, but just because it's talking, it's not telling the truth. So let's go back and let's look at this verse and what Jesus said in Luke chapter 16, verse 10. It says, whoever can be trusted with a little can also be trusted with a lot. And whoever is dishonest with a little is dishonest with a lot. Who can be trusted with a little? He who is faithful with a little. If you look at this, Jesus is not saying, man, if I just had. That's not the mindset that Jesus is trying to portray to us. He's really asking us this. What are you doing with what you have? See, I think we all have things that we're supposed to be faithful with, whether it's our finances through tithing, through giving, through budgeting some money to give, whether it's through our time, whether it's through our friendships and the relationships that we have, whether it's through our talents, our abilities. We all have something that we're supposed to be faithful with. So let me ask you, are you being faithful with what you have? You may think it's a little, but are you being faithful with the little that you have? I'll tell you a little story about Sarah and I when we first got married and kind of just give you a little history of where we are and kind of where we were. When we first got married, we were pretty much a financial mess, to be honest. You know, I'm not saying that we're perfect now, but when we were married, we had like $80,000 worth of like debt, like the bad kind of debt, like unsecured, like not secured to anything. Like that's not a house. That's just some random debt that's just hanging out there, right? And we really didn't make much because what was crazy, and when we were engaged, we both got laid off at the same time. Like I got laid off on a Friday. And then on Monday morning, I'm like, well, I got a severance package. So I'm like, this is sweet. I'm going to sleep in Monday morning. So the lazy dude thinking that the economy will be all right. I can get a job. I'll sleep in Monday morning. So I'm sleeping in. And then it was probably, at that time, I could sleep till 10:30. So it was probably about 10:30. Then Sarah comes over to my house. And she walks in. I'm like, what are you doing? You should be at work. Like, I'm going to chill today. I'm going to relax here. She walks in. She's like, oh, I got laid off too. I'm like, ooh, ouch. We're getting married soon. It'll be rough. Okay. And then at the same time, too, I had a house that was a duplex, and I lived in there by myself, and one portion of it, and the bottom portion, was rented out. And during this time we were laid off, my renters decided that they're going to go buy a house, which is great for them, bad for me, right? So they moved out, so I had this whole house payment. Nobody's, like, kicking in anything. And then we were real smart and decided, hey, we can remodel the house. We both have time. We're going to get married, so you're going to be moving in here soon anyway, so let's remodel the house, which completely drained all my savings. And the next thing you know, we had to take these jobs, which were, they weren't the best paying jobs. They weren't what we were used to, right? So we got married, but we had a choice to make. We both had jobs that were paying less. We both had a crazy amount of debt, but we had a choice to make, and this was the choice. Do we continue to give? So we did, because we basically had little at that time, right? But we continued to give. And then we made this choice as we were continuing to give. It was weird that we started making wiser choices financially. We started snowballing our debt, was able to pay a lot of the debt off. We both took part-time jobs. I think at one point, she was working like 5 jobs. I was still working just my one. No, we were working both like 3 jobs together. And so we were able to snowball this. And then we ended up getting better jobs that were paying well. We were getting blessed. We were able to give more. And the more we gave, the more it just was crazy how things were blessed. And then we were crazy enough to decide to plant a church. So then we took a pay cut. And what's crazy, though, about all this is that God's still taking care of us. Like, we're still able to give. We're still able to pay everything that we need to pay. We're still able to put food in front of our kids. We're still able to even take a trip and be blessed like that. It's been crazy, right? But why? I think it's only because of God. Because in his economy, you can't outgive him. I think sometimes we have to trust God that he can do more with 90% than we can do with 100%. And if we're faithful with that little, man, God's going to entrust us with more. And I know this, that we were faithful with the little. And the fact that we gave when we were only making a little is the reason we're giving right now. If we didn't give then, I can tell you, we wouldn't be giving now. When we gave with the little, it helped us and made us able to give when we had more. What you do with the little reveals about what you will do with the more. And if we think that all our problems can be solved with more money, then we've been influenced by this unrighteous man. So what does mammon reveal to you? What does mammon reveal about our heart? Because I think God and mammon are both talking about things. Even when we're going to give, when we decide to give generously, I think that the spirit of mammon still talks to us. And even when that money leaves our hand, sometimes it doesn't leave our life. It doesn't leave our heart. And if you look at it, Jesus isn't saying to hate money, but he's saying that we need to guard against it. We need to guard against that greed, that selfishness, those lies, the deception that can operate through the money. And if you look at the Pharisees, they hated what Jesus said because they were lovers of money. They were lovers and they served mammon. So how can you tell if you wrestle with the spirit of mammon, the spirit of unrighteousness? Let's talk through that. I think this is one way. If we have fear or anxiety about money, I think if we have this fear or anxiety about money, then we might wrestle with this unrighteous spirit of man. Because here's the truth. I think money promises everything, but it delivers nothing. Money really promises only what God can give. Money promises that, you know what, that we'll have this sense of security, that we'll have this feeling of significance, right? Money says that we'll be independent, that we'll have this power, we'll have this freedom, right? That we basically, money is the answer to all of life's questions, all of life's problems. But really, only God can do that. And when we think money can do that, that's when it slowly creeps up and becomes our God. That unrighteous mammon. It's that greed, that selfishness, that lying and deception that money can cause in us. And I think it manifests itself in two ways. I think it manifests itself in the spirit of poverty and the spirit of pride. You look at the spirit of poverty as this. It's that mentality that causes you to be ashamed of God's blessings. Maybe you've been there before where you were ashamed of everything that God has given you. And to be incredibly transparent, just kind of tell you where I am and kind of share this is something I struggle with. Now, I grew up thinking that pastors were supposed to be poor, right? And I even went to Bible college, and when I was there, we did all these spirituality tests and spiritual tests, and one of my results was being able to live on a poverty level. It was one of my spiritual gifts. Who knew that was a spiritual gift, first of all? But that was one of the things I tested high on. I'm like, okay, that's crazy. But the fact that God has blessed us, often just, it messes me up, kind of throws me for a loop. And what's crazier though, is the more we give away, the more we end up being blessed. The more we try to lower, or try to be back, kind of almost live this poor life, the more we end up being blessed. And God's always blessed us. I think it's this byproduct of giving. It's this byproduct of really not letting money have my heart. But even though I wasn't really tied to money, this unrighteous spirit of mammon, it still manifests itself in me through this spirit of poverty. And the spirit of poverty, it will cause you to be ashamed of what God has given you. Again, this is something I struggle with. One way, it's through our home. Like Sarah and I we've been blessed with an incredible home. But sometimes we felt guilty about it. In fact, we've talked about moving like multiple times, not because of finances, just because of where it is and what we do. We've talked about moving multiple times because we almost felt guilty for having that. We felt guilty for being blessed. And why is that? It's because I associated God's blessing with shame. Think about that statement. Think how crazy that really is, right? Again, yesterday, it was my son Griffin's 2-year birthday party. So naturally, we got him some gifts. And thinking about this, we got him this sweet rug. Like, it's in the shape of a town. It has roads and stuff, so you can play Matchbox cars on it. And he drove him around on the thing a lot yesterday. But like, it's an awesome rug, and I'm just gonna say I might like it a little bit more than him right now. But it's a sweet rug. And what if somebody came to our house and like complimented Griffin? Now he's not the best speaker, doesn't talk too good. But what if someone would come over and say, "Man, what an awesome little rug for your cars." What if he got ashamed of that? What if he had to make excuses of why Sarah and I got that? That'd be crazy, right? That sounds ridiculous, but I think so many times, I think we do this with God. And this is that spirit of poverty. Because I know this, the devil can't stop God from blessing us, but he can make us feel guilty for what God blesses us with. So honestly, this is something that I needed to repent of and something I need to repent of and ask God to forgive me. I will tell you this, we are staying in our home. But instead of feeling really ashamed of the blessings that God's given us, we should be thankful. We should be grateful. Those things should lead us to the gratefulness that we have in God, because God can bless us more than we could ever imagine, and then we should honor him for that. And really, if we think about it, the stuff isn't ours anyways. It's all his, right? I mean, in 1 Corinthians 16, 19 through 20, it says that we were bought at a price, that we're not our own, that we're his, so everything we own is his anyways. So let me ask you, do you wrestle with that? With that spirit of poverty. And then the other way, I think this unrighteous spirit of mammon that manifests itself, I think is through the spirit of pride, where it says this, "Man, I've earned this stuff, you know? And I have more, I have better, I have new, I have the newer, I have the shiniest, I have the best of everything, right? So I'm better than you, I'm more important than you." And the spirit of pride also works in the opposite way, where we look at other people, we're comparing ourselves to them, thinking, man, they're better than me, they have more, they have newer, they have shinier, and all of a sudden we compare ourselves to this. That's that unrighteous mammon. That's something in our heart that money is pulling out. A spirit of pride, it causes us to look down on others because of our stuff. Or it causes us to look and compare ourselves to others because of their stuff. I think pride, it will cause you to buy something newer, bigger. It'll cause you to get the upgrade to that newer version, right? Just to keep up with someone else or to one-up them. The spirit of pride, I think, it manifests itself when you get jealous of somebody else, whether they have nicer houses, nicer cars, whatever it is. And I think both pride and poverty, I think they take our eyes off of God and they put them on stuff. The musician would please come up as Ricker Lance. They take our eyes off of God and they put them on stuff. And I'm going to say this. God doesn't care if we have stuff, but he cares if stuff has us. God cares about your heart. So let me ask you, who or what has your heart? Because it's not about the money, but it's all about your heart. So as we started the series, The Blessed Life, I kind of started talking off about how this is all about money. But let me really clarify this. This whole series, it's not about money, but it's all about your heart. Because money reveals your heart. So what's money saying about you? What's money revealing in your heart? And what is God speaking to you about today? Again, money, it's just neutral, right? It's just a piece of paper. But it's also a great revealer of what we value. I think it reveals those deep and those hidden things that are in our hearts. What's money revealing in your heart? Do you struggle with the spirit of poverty? Do you struggle with the spirit of pride? Is there some envy? Is there some anger? There's some jealousy that's in there. Some resentment. If that's you, confess those things. Give those to God and let God heal your heart. Place Jesus first in your life in all areas of your life. Because Jesus said, you can't serve both God and man. Again, money, it's not the point. And it's never been the point. It's all about your heart. Who or what has your heart today? As we close and we go into this response time, I just want to end by giving an opportunity to give your heart to Jesus. Maybe you're here today, and maybe you don't have a relationship with God, or maybe you do have a relationship with God, but you walked away. And God's asking you to give your heart to Him. God's revealing to you that you need to submit to Him and start a relationship with Him. If that's you, I want to pray with you at your seat. I'm going to make it super simple. I'm going to count to three, and when I get to three, I just want you to raise your hand, and I'll see that hand. And I just want to pray with you at your seat. So if you would, we're going to count to three. One, everybody's eyes closed, head bowed. Two, God is asking you to start a relationship with Him today. Three, raise your hand. Cool. Say that, amen. Cool. Let's all pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son Jesus to die on a cross for me. Forgive me of my sins and help me walk away and place you first. And in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you were here today and you were listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. If you would, go to www.mylifechangechurch.com and under the media section, please fill out the contact us information and let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week.